It's another Stain Gang podcast as we talk about Midwestern State football with head coach Rich Renner. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast and be sure to make your plans to be out at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, September 19th, when Midwestern State begins Lone Star Conference play against Western New Mexico. They'll kick off at 6 o'clock. Coach, it's happened quickly, but you've wrapped up the non-conference portion of your schedule. Had kind of a tough trip out to Michigan Tech in more ways than one. Just as a fan watching, it seemed like Midwestern State kind of beat themselves on Saturday.
Most definitely. I mean, we definitely beat ourselves. I mean, when you've got five turnovers and you've got some penalties and obviously don't play great in the red zone and give up touchdowns, then, you know, obviously you don't give yourself a chance to win, and you drop three touchdown passes that were in the hands of our receivers. And so we've definitely got to get better in all phases. Kicking game, I felt like, was probably a 50-50. I thought defense did well in the first half in the situations that they got put in with all the turnovers. And then, you know, there at the end, we needed to stop the run and get the ball back. We still had a chance in the second half, and our kids didn't quit, and that's what I was very proud of them about. But we've got to stop the run defensively and get the ball back to the offense. And I think once the offense settled down a little bit, and the quarterback especially, Caden Brown, then we started going a little bit.
So you had said on previous podcasts that you were looking to get Sean Jastrup in. After you've got a couple of interceptions, it seemed like that might be a good point to insert him. Why didn't you make a quarterback change?
You know, that's a great question. You know, we talked about it. Coach Bryant and I talked about it, and we just felt like that, you know, that the interceptions were possibly not necessarily. I mean, obviously the fumble, the very first one, was to me.
It did not. I'm watching it on flow. It didn't look like a fumble to me. What was I missing?
Well, I think we're all missing it somewhere. The refs, you know, I challenged it, you know, thinking that it was a forward pass.
I thought it was going to get overturned.
And they said no, that it was a fumble, and they never gave me an explanation on the sideline. So your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, when that happened, again, I think it just slipped out of his hand. And when I say slipped out of his hand, I mean, we thought it was going to be an incomplete pass and second down, and now it's on the 10-yard line, roughly, and they've got the ball, and our defense did a great job of holding them to a field goal that they end up missing.
Yeah, you had the two early turnovers, and you're still 0-0.
Most definitely.
So, I mean, kind of a weird way, you got off to a good start.
Exactly.
I mean, you turned the ball over twice. That's not good, but you didn't give up any points off those first two turnovers.
Most definitely, and that's what I was proud of our defense about. And with that being said, you know, we felt like, okay, that – you know, the second or the first interception was a tip ball. And so we felt like that, you know, again, that was possibly not the quarterback's necessarily fault. You know, ball got tipped, didn't get it high enough. Obviously, kid made a great play diving for the ball. You know what I mean? And so to make a change just because he was struggling, we just didn't feel like that was the time to do that. Like I said, and once he settled down in the third or the second interception that he threw, obviously was, you know, receivers got to come back to the ball. It was at the sticks. DB made a great play on it. He beat him to the spot. And so, you know, again, I don't know if I could say that was the quarterback's fault per se, but the third one was obviously when he threw it right to the player, didn't see him drop and sit there underneath the slant route by number two. But at that moment it was, you know, and we also went for it on fourth down. We felt like we on fourth and one, they were in press coverage. We felt like that we could run past them, which we did, and dropped it. That would have been a touchdown as well. And so that didn't help the defense because it gave them another short field. And so obviously that first half, the defense was put in very, very tough and bad situations. And again, that's on me being the head coach because I make those decisions, and I've got to do a better job of you know, seeing the big picture and either us executing, because we were 0-3 on fourth down. And so we've got to work on that this week and get better on the fourth down conversions.
Sean did come in, ran that first play of the fourth quarter to complete that scoring drive through a beautiful fade. Was there any thought to keeping him in the game at that point?
You know, there was, obviously. I mean, but Caden obviously tweaked his ankle and then came back and was fine. And at that point, he got us down there to that point. And so we just felt like that, you know, he was rolling, and we wanted to keep the momentum going and scored that touchdown. And we felt like at that point we were going to come back, and we were back in the game.
It certainly felt like you captured the momentum in the second half. Mm-hmm. you came out, you got a stop, you got some early points in the third quarter, and it's game on. I want to talk about your halftime adjustments, but I thought the 10 points you gave up just before halftime kind of held you back from making a comeback.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Obviously, you know, that 51-yard field goal, you know, I mean, he missed a chip shot early on, you know, off of the fumble, but then he missed the 50, you know, then he makes
it's like my golf game. The closer I get, the harder the game gets.
That's right. And then, it, you know, the 51-yarder bounced in, you know, it hit the upright and kind of pounced in. And that was, again, that put the game 30, you know, I think it was 31-7.
31-7
at
halftime.
And
you had just gotten to within 14 with, I think, like 245, something like that remaining.
Yes, sir. And so that was, I mean, those were big plays that, you know, that obviously they did a great job capitalizing on, and good teams will do that. But, you know, at halftime, I mean, obviously, you know, I think the kids felt like that, you know, we knew that we had done it to ourselves and that we were better than what we were showing out there. And, you know, I challenged them in the second half, you know, to play the 30 minutes, forget about the first half. Hey, let's win the second half, which we did.
Which you did, yeah.
But again, I felt like if we wouldn't have shot ourselves in the foot again with the fumble there and you know, the fourth down, we didn't get the score there at the end, which, again.
And then you had a muff punt.
We had a muff punt of 27 yards, which didn't help matters either. But, again, you know, credit to Michigan Tech and their coaching staff. You know, those kids were well-schooled and ready to go, and they made those plays. You know what I mean? They made those interceptions. They wouldn't say caused the fumble there at the first one, but you know, they made the field goals when they needed to. They made the blocks, and then you know there was the fumble that you know, they got a field goal on that they called was a
they called that a forward pass. Forward How pass. Did you see it?
Well, I saw it as a fumble. I saw it as a guy trying to hand it off to the running back, just like
so. They're saying he handed it off forward. I don't know.
Well, they said he shoveled it.
Oh, he shoveled it. Okay.
They said he shoveled it, but you watch the replay, and he really didn't shovel it.
It didn't. Again, it didn't look to me like it was a shovel pass, and I'm pretty good about watching that because I love that play. I love that shovel pass forward because it's risk-free.
Yes, sir.
If you want to run a jet sweep, if you toss it forward, now it's a forward pass, and if your receiver drops it, no harm, no foul.
That's right.
So I'm usually pretty good about watching that, and that's not the way I saw that play unfold, but it's the guy in the striped shirts that make that decision, not me. So I thought there were a couple of calls that really went against you, but you're on the road. That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the two non-conference games. How do you assess where your team's at as you come into your bye week and you get ready to open up LSC play?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that I was proud of our kids of Saturday. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously adversity hit us the whole first half. And I felt like our kids didn't quit. I felt like our kids kept paddling. I felt like I saw on the sidelines, you know, there was still togetherness. There wasn't pointing fingers. There wasn't guys giving up. There was still that hope that we were going to come back and win the game and that chance of coming back, even though we're down 31-7 at halftime. And once we scored, like I said, in the second half, then we started to have that confidence, and you could see the momentum changing.
Absolutely.
And then, like I said, the air came out when we drop a wide open touchdown. Another one came out when the same kid dropped the punt, you know, on the 10-yard line, which they go in and score, and so again, we make those plays. You know, it could have been a total different
game. It's pretty easy to see how this game could have turned out differently. Turnovers aside, easy to say. Mm-hmm. Were you happy with the team's execution? If you were able to avoid those turnovers, do you think Midwestern State wins that game?
I think so. I think for us only losing by three touchdowns in the scenario that the defense was put in the first half. Now, again, like I said, we've got to get better in the run game.
Stopping the
run in the fourth quarter, because that's the same thing that obviously, I went out and say the run game, but the passing game in the fourth quarter at Missouri Southern, you know, was an issue. And so I think that fourth quarter, but to their defense, you know, the defense had their backs against the wall the whole game, especially at the beginning. And so once, you know, so again,
if you had some scoreboard pressure on Michigan Tech, that changes the complexion of the game as well.
Most definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about the bye week and how do you approach this bye week, and what are your expectations of the team during the bye week?
Well, obviously the expectations is you know, we continue to get better. We get 1% better each every day. We've got to obviously, you know, penalties were you know, obviously we had a lot of penalties called on us. Probably not. I don't know how many exactly. I mean, they said 9, but I know there was more than that. It seemed like in there in the game, it seemed like every time we would do something positive, there was a penalty. You know,
not had saying, a couple of holding calls on running plays.
Yes, which was crazy because you look at them and you're like, where's the holding call?
But and I remember one specifically. I'm like, we didn't get our money's worth on that, man. Did not look like a hold. I hate talking about officiating and blaming officials, but there certainly were some questionable calls that went against Midwestern State in that game. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, sir. Well, I just think the momentum of the fumble, you know, at very beginning to set the stage.
Right off the bat
in the first play, and then obviously in the second half when the shovel pass that they fumbled down in their reds, you know, there as they're going in to score, which they end up, we hold them to a field goal, that we didn't get that ball, which would have been another turnover, which would have been 3 points less.
And the offense has momentum at that point, too. If that's a turnover,
yes.
I mean, there were just so many turning points in that game. It really was a roller coaster ride. And the second half was much different than the first half of that game.
Most definitely.
Which, as a coach, I would think that's got to give you encouragement.
Definitely. And I think that's, if you look at as a head coach, you know, if you take away the most of the turnovers there, the ones at the beginning, the four, obviously in the first half versus the second half. And like I told you, winning the scoreboard in the second half was huge. But also, too, just our kids responding to the adversity, being down 31-7 at halftime and not giving up, not giving in, not just, oh, well, game's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And checking out, they continued to battle. They continued to fight. They continued to try to claw back into it. And like you said, we were just a little bit too far away. And then not having those balls bounce our way in the second half, like we mentioned earlier, with the drop, you know, touchdowns, as well as the, you know, the non-call.
There's a lot of what ifs in that game, isn't there?
That's exactly right. Yeah. But again, going back to a team that's well disciplined, a team that is very well coached, a team that is very talented, you can't make those mistakes and beat them. And for us to only lose by 21, you'd have thought we'd have lost by 50, like some of these other Division I schools that that played over the weekend. But we didn't. We continued to fight and battle. And so, like I said, I was proud of our kids. Even when we were, I think, within 13 points there at a moment in the third quarter as we were climbing back into it, you could see that they were starting to get a little nervous because – you know, we can score at any moment.
Yeah, that's the one thing that comes out of the first two games is you've got an explosive offense.
Yes, sir. And we've got very talented receivers, talented quarterbacks. We've got, you know, an offensive line does a great job blocking. I think we gave up, says on the stats, 3 sacks, but I think it was really 2 sacks that we gave up. And a lot of that was just him scrambling, you know, because, you know, buying a little bit more time or trying to find some open receivers. But for the most part, I mean, I felt like that, you know, he's getting good protection back there. He's obviously receivers.
He's getting good protection, but he is also as good as any quarterback maybe since Leighton Rabb was here at buying himself time.
Most definitely.
Whether it's moving up in the pocket or moving out to his left or right, and he's able to throw the football moving either way. And the other thing he does is he keeps his eyes downfield as he's scrambling out of trouble. So there's a lot to like what you've seen. I know the interceptions, and everybody's going to point to that, but there's a lot to like about what you've seen out of your quarterback.
Most definitely. And we just got to keep him healthy. You know, I mean, getting hit left and right over there. He got horse collared that we didn't get a call.
That's exactly how I called it, by the way. That's a horse collar that didn't get called. So how much do you prepare for Western New Mexico this week, or are you working primarily on yourself this week?
Well, I think both. I think you've got to prepare for Western New Mexico. They're a very explosive offense. They've scored a lot of points the first two ball games. They're, you know, obviously much improved. Coach Hickman does a great job with that staff, you know, with his team and that staff, and offensively as he's calling the plays. And so, obviously, I know that. Defensively, they're 3-3 stack, so they're a little bit different than what we're used to seeing. I know we've seen some 3-4 stuff and some 4-2-5 and 4-3s, but obviously 3-3 stat gives something a little different. So we have to work on that as well. And so again, not only just getting better with us and in situations, you know, like the 4th and 1, the 2-point plays, you know, we didn't get the 2-point play when we went for it. So we've got to work on those things. So I can, again, situations is very big, but also going back to the fundamentals that, you know, that we talked about, fitting the right way in the gaps and stopping the run on defense, but also being able to run the ball on offense, as well as, you know, catching the ball, blocking, and making sure that we are turning every stone over that that we need to, so we don't miss anything.
What are your thoughts on the 2-point play? Are you going strictly by the chart, or do you go with your gut?
No, we went by the chart. We knew that it didn't really – the 2-point helped us to get closer back into it than it did by kicking the extra point. And so it didn't matter, as you see, that it would have still been us not getting it. It still was 19 points, even though they went for 2 and got it. That's what made it to 21.
Right.
But it's still – you know, whether it was 20 or 19, it didn't matter.
Right.
So we knew that we still needed 3 touchdowns to win the game. And so that was the mindset from the analytics.
It's odd when you look around the Lone Star Conference. It has not been a good first 2 weeks for the conference as a whole.
It has not. It's kind of sad, really, because, we're better than that. We need to be better than that as a Lone Star Conference. And, and I know that, you know, obviously there's been a lot of change as coaches, head coaches in this league, as well as players, you know, in the portal and what have you. And so I just think that, a lot of that is affecting probably a lot of teams at this moment. And obviously saw Ross got a win against Adams State, which I was happy for Coach Hayes and his staff, because that was the first win as him as a head coach. But also, too, you see Angelo, struggling. They were in a battle there with Western Colorado, which obviously Western Colorado's a really good football team, and they were winning at half and then lost it there at the end. And you've got WT that's, playing Grand Valley and Kingsville, going up and play Saginaw Valley, us going up and playing Michigan Tech.
By the way, was receiving votes in the top 25, Michigan Tech, and picked 3rd to finish in what is a really good conference.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, but those are all good teams that, we're going to play, and we've got to do a better job winning those games. And, again, I know travel's a big deal. All of 3 of us went to them, which, again, our travel was probably not the most ideal.
It was not ideal. I think you guys met at the Coliseum at 2 a.m.
Yes, sir.
To get to DFW and then flew in. I don't think the guys probably got to sleep till midnight. You flew into Minneapolis, took a 6-hour bus ride to get to Houghton. So it certainly wasn't ideal conditions. And then it's an early start.
That's right.
I don't think that had any effect on the game per se, but it's certainly not ideal conditions. But that trip is now behind us, and I know you're grateful for that.
Most definitely. But, it was a great atmosphere. They were great up there to us, and
had great weather to play in,
great
too.
Weather.
You had to break out the sweatshirt. It was 70 degrees out there.
It was beautiful sunshine, and it was actually warmer than – it felt warmer than 70. It felt like it more in the 80s, but it was beautiful out there. Great crowd, great atmosphere, the band, all that good stuff. And they did a great job, the hospitality they gave us. And so we were very blessed and fortunate. But, again, loved the early game. Didn't like, because we were in a bus for 6 hours and we didn't get there till late Friday night, and then turn around and had to make a quick early, adjustment. And again, you got to remember now, guys are starting to finally play together and finally, get a feel for each other. And we're still trying to find our identity a little bit, in a sense of what we can do and can't do. And we played a really good football team. That team was very, very good, obviously. And that's why they're getting votes in the top 25,
right?
Because, they're very talented and they do a great job, with that staff and the players. And they had a lot, some guys that had been there for a while, and so they've had guys, where we have, quite a few transfers in there that we're still trying to get all on the same page. But for the most part, I felt like our kids, like I said, responded to adversity. They continued to fight. They continued to play. Even the defense, like I said, in the bad situations, they, other than at the end in the 4th quarter, played really well, and I was proud of them for that, to keep us a chance to win the game.
You're talking about start times, and Midwestern State has kind of moved up the start times. There is an 8 o'clock game at Memorial Stadium later this year, but we've moved to 6 o'clock starts. Do you like the 6 o'clock start?
I love the earlier starts. I like them just for a number of reasons. Number one is I like them because you're not sitting around all day to wait for a game. Number two, I like them because the kids can hopefully go out to have time with their families after the game. Whether they go out to dinner, because a lot of times, you know, dinner places close at 10 o'clock. And so, you know, if we're not done before 10 o'clock, then it's hard for them to, you know, to have a nice dinner with their family. And so I think that's a big deal. And you got to think about the rest for the kids and the coaches as well with their families. You know, I think the earlier you go, you have an opportunity to, you know, at least have a Saturday night where you can get a good night rest before Sunday comes around, because whether you play it, you know, at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, you know what I mean? That 1 o'clock the next day comes pretty quickly.
6 o'clock on September 19th, Midwestern State will be home. It'll be family day out at Memorial Stadium. Should be a great crowd, and we're looking forward to it. We'll talk a lot more about Western New Mexico and the game plan going into that when we talk next week on the Stang Gang podcast. Coach Renner, as always, I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, Pete, and go Mustangs.